And there are others like this too that I've become aware of who are, I think one young lady came by through Facebook, and another man was in social work in Peshawar, and it's at the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan, and he was accused of blasphemy because he had translated a book that talked about how Muhammad would attack different caravans. And so then he had to flee because, you know, if your book accused of blasphemy, then you are, you know, it's a death sentence. Well, these are real stories. These are real people. And one of the things that struck me, and I'll tell you a little bit about what is in India too, the first persecutions took place when Peter and John had healed that lame man, or God had healed the lame man through them, they were warned that you should no longer preach about this. They said, we cannot but speak about what we have seen and heard. Well, then they came to the church, and they were praying. And when they got to there, it's very interesting what they prayed. They prayed, it says, "Oh Lord, hear their threats." And then what? Protect us? Put them down? Help us to flee? No, that's not what they prayed for. They prayed, "But by grace, help us to speak your word with boldness." That's what they prayed for, because they knew persecution was going to be there. You don't pray that it's not going to take us. It will be there. Just give us boldness as we face this. And that's exactly what you hear with all of these stories. They're not surprised that they're going to face this type of persecution. They know that's the cost. But they are faithful to the Lord, and they pray for boldness and strength. Tell you a little bit about India, where I lived and served. Most of the Christians in India are from the Dalit community, the outcast community. It's about 16% of the population. Then 4% are tribal people. They're considered that Dalits. And there's a wonderful program of social uplift that the Indian government has, where if you're from the Dalit community, if the children are to help the parents to get their children to school, they help them pay for their books and so forth. They also, if there's no high school nearby, then they give them they can go to a free government hostel in a nearby town. And when they graduate from high school, then they are able to go to, there's a reserved, 20% of all of the seats of the higher education are reserved for people, so they don't have to compete with people from higher castes. And so they get those seats. They also get scholarships. When they graduate, they get government jobs, reserved quota of government jobs, and accelerated promotions. And all of those privileges are there. And then the families get other electricity and cows. I mean, but if you're a Christian, you don't get it. So you got you're in this Dalit village, and there's a Hindu family and a Christian family. They're side by side, the same, living in these same huts, and one gets all of the benefits and the other doesn't get anything. That's a way of trying to prevent more people from converting to Christianity. But it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. It's a big decision for students, for parents to baptize their children. Because the moment the water hits their head, that's it. All those doors of opportunity are slammed shut. Would you baptize your child if you knew that was going to happen? And then you get these families who have struggled really hard. They eat less and so forth. They just try to get at least the eldest son, usually it's the son, through to some education and get a degree. And then he's got this degree, and okay, now good. Now he can get a job. And so he goes to the government employment agency and kind of waits, you know, all day long, of course, and finally gets in and presents himself to the tahsildar, and the tahsildar asks him, so what's your education? Okay, got it, all right, okay, good. What's your caste? Dalit. Oh, great. I got all these people, all these spots I need to fill for Dalits over here. So, great. You're helping me a lot, he's there. Okay, what's your name? That's a Yezu Raj. Oh, you can tell the religion of a person by their name in India, usually. Yesu Raj, Jesus is King. Well, you're a Christian. Oh, okay, all right. You're at the end of the list. Nothing I can do for you. So, but see, you know, young man, all you got to do is change your name. Or you have to put your name into the government gazette. Give yourself a Hindu name. You believe whatever you want in your heart. I don't care about that. But you can help me finish my quota. You can help your family. What about your brothers and sisters? Aren't they counting on you to get a good job so you can put them through school? Huh? What about your parents? Aren't they counting on you to help them when they get in their old age? Say some security? All you got to do is change your name. Would you change your name? What would you do? You know, it's amazing that these young people, hardly ever anybody changes their name. They just say, why? Simply, the power of the Holy Spirit. The belief in the promises of God. That's what we had in the high priestly prayer. And he said, Father, keep them in your name. And they believe it. That's God who loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. The one who accepted me in holy baptism. The one who has given his promise over my life. Is he going to take care of this or not? And they just go forward in trust. And we learn from them, don't we? We learn from them what it means to trust. So is Peter talking about us? Well, maybe not just this us, but the us of the body of Christ, yeah. Yeah, he's talking about us. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow members of this body of Christ, which we are privileged to participate in by God's grace. And as St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, if one part of the body suffers, what? We all, every part suffers. So I hope that we think about this we have right here in this, that we suffer at least a little bit with our brothers and sisters, that we pray for them, and that we look at them and learn for ourselves. What does it mean, really mean, to trust God with all that we are and have, and to believe his promises and live by them? In Jesus' name, amen.